Welcome back to Yang Daily. I'll be your host, Alex Cheney, bringing you all the Yang news you need to live your life right. As promised, I've got your yesterday's news today, and there's some pretty big stuff in here. Today's is on the way. Let's get into it. Well, it happened. We lost the race. The small island nation of Tuvalu is now the first nation in the world to adopt an emergency UBI. Tuvalu! It shouldn't actually be a surprise. As Scott explains, in 1998, Tuvalu was judged to be the only nation in the world above reproach for human rights violations. It also has free health care, despite being one of the poorest nations on Earth. Tuvalu is a parliamentary democracy with no political parties, which means they're actually free to elect good leaders who actually give a crap about their citizens and country. The UBI program will provide $40 a month per citizen, which is a substantial amount for the area. Still, Tuvalu's small enough that no one will notice, so I think we can still claim the glory if we're the first large nation to pass EUBI. Nameen? Scotland is also making progress on a UBI pilot program. A government-funded report in Scotland has backed a three-year basic income pilot with 17,000 recipients, 2,500 of whom would get around $1,100 per month, and the remainder of which would get a lower amount, on par with existing welfare, but without the conditionality, though it does not stack with many welfare programs. Fresh fears over a resurgence of COVID and resumption of lockdown measures sent the stock market off a new cliff yesterday, with the Dow falling a whopping 7% in a single day, harkening back to the early days of the crisis. This follows a euphoric and arguably delusional rally of stocks over the last month or so, bringing many stocks above their pre-pandemic levels. It remains to be seen if the plunge will continue. What does this mean? Hopefully it means a new fire under the butts of lawmakers, as the stock market seems to be one of the very few things that can motivate them into action. This may be a renewed opportunity for UBI legislation, and we should renew our advocacy for it. A shooting near a New Orleans defund police protest is getting a lot of attention recently, though for mostly the wrong reasons. The shooting had no connection to the protest and was in another area entirely. However, it came to the attention of the protesters that a transgendered black woman, a demographic perceived to be a common victim of the justice system, had been taken into custody by police, though she was not the shooter. Protesters surrounded the police cruiser and refused to allow it to leave when word got around that she had been taken against her will in handcuffs, supposedly as a witness to the crime. The standoff lasted minutes before a public defender attorney spoke to police and basically told them they had no right to arrest her and should take down her account and release her. The cops did so, and the woman emerged from the cruiser in tears, had her handcuffs removed, and was allowed to leave. Protesters also defended her from media trying to interview her when it was clear she did not want to speak with them. There was no violence involved. This seems to me about the best example you could have of citizens sticking up for one another against oppression and corruption. Comedian Wyatt Cenac has been producing a series of commentary shows which heavily feature investigation of and guest speakers on police brutality and reform. It's kind of like John Oliver's Last Week Tonight. You can find the playlist below. A Medium article has also been circulating, that of a cop's firsthand account, where he details how he was trained to never inform on another officer's wrongdoings and to treat the removal of people's civil liberties as a game, followed by an analysis and suggestions for reforming the system. It's far too long to go into detail here. I haven't even had the time to get through it all myself, but I will say it's worth noting that this is an anonymous account posted to an open forum. There is no more guarantee of legitimacy to this than anything you might find online. Do not assume it is a true story. That said, the message is important to consider that police culture is toxic. We've enough evidence to conclude that many police unions function to protect only police with no regard for public safety. There are plenty of accounts suggesting the same of training programs. If a system breeds bad behavior, good people either leave or become bad, much like in politics. There really is no other explanation, in my opinion, for the behavior we've seen from police over recent weeks. So many act as thugs, and their compatriots do nothing to stop it. People are not fundamentally evil, certainly not in those numbers, so the only explanation to me is that we're either picking all the worst types to be police, or we are conditioning them to act in evil ways. And when I say we, I mean as a society. This is why we need ground-up fundamental reform, and why superficial changes will not solve the problem. The root is rotten and must be pulled up and replaced. But there is one bit of good cop news today. Louisville's council just voted to unanimously ban the use of no-knock warrants, the type of which was used to invade Breonna Taylor's apartment. A small win, but a win nonetheless. The Trump administration's federal officials responsible for spending $660 billion in taxpayer-backed small business assistance said Wednesday that they will not disclose amounts or recipients of subsidized loans, backtracking on an earlier commitment to release individual loan data. Mnuchin called it confidential information. He cited issues like disclosing data on businesses' employees' salaries, despite the Freedom of Information Act request, including no request for salary information. And it's hard to imagine how just disclosing which businesses received loans would betray any confidential information. But frankly, this is entirely expected after the oversight agent was immediately fired by Trump following his signing of the bill. The Melanated Council of Yang had Jermaine on for an episode in which they discuss his recent win in the Carolina primary, as well as his perspective on the Black experience in America. Finally, I'm happy to announce that Humanity Forward has officially added two more names to the endorsement list. Blair Walsingham of Tennessee and Antoine Pierce of Louisiana will both have HF's blessing going into their congressional races. Welcome to the family. And that'll do it for today's Yang Daily. Check out Wyatt's Policing Investigations, the First Hand Account article, Breuer's AMA, and the council's discussion with Jermaine. Congratulate and get to know our congressional candidates. Help spread the word on coordinating with protesters to give the movement clear policy goals. If you're going out to protest, wear protection, especially on your eyes, head, and throat. If you get arrested while protesting, remember not to say anything without a lawyer. Whatever you choose to do, be wise, be safe, and act with measured purpose toward real solutions. And don't forget to Yang Daily.